Blog Talk.
Construction Blog Talk Radio talk forum for women of color and tradeswomen. It is proudly November 5th, 2008, and we're broadcasting live from Stone Mountain, Georgia. And our topics for today is how to create succession planning and increasing business growth for journey level women. When durable networks know each other, communities are stronger, information flows faster, resources can be mobilized more effectively, and problems can be solved more quickly when interdependent environments are present. We would like to, first of all, give a praise and honor to God that change has come, and I'm hoping that our listeners do understand that it's our turn to now change the face of contracting for not just women of color, but all tradeswomen and women in the business industry. I'd like to inform everybody about some of our guests that are scheduled to be on today. Our first and most honorable guest is Lauren Sugarman from Chicago Women in the Trades. Their organization has been in existence for 30 years, and because of Lauren Sugarman and the Chicago Women of Trades, her dedication to so many women of color and non-traditional trades that she has served in the community, some of the things they have done with Hood Hopes and Urban Dreams and improving women's economic equality. They're a nonprofit organization that is committed to economic equality by increasing numbers of women and girls working in well-paid jobs. She's also partnered with organizations from four Midwestern states to provide technical assistance to unions and employers. And she should be coming on a little bit further down in the show. Our main topic is the networking of traditional and non-traditional avenues of women. And another guest that we'll have on today, possibly the next president of the NAACP in DeKalb County, attorney Yvonne Hawks, native of Gainesville, Georgia, was educated in the Gainesville public school system, moved successfully through corporate America, and jumped into the Department of Revenue and is currently now in private practice after leaving the Fulton County Defender's Office. She has an extraordinary goal that kind of mirrors the coalition directly in her strategic and understanding of her financial plans for the NAACP, the new movement, the organization that has a new face. And then further on the show, we also have a very, very good connection with organization called Diamond in the Rough. Diamond in the Rough is a nonprofit. Their options are to work with young women in education, post-high school, and in careers. And they have a series of monthly workshops and guest speakers. And our interest with them is doing some mentoring and doing some effective communications to provide studies and the necessary nurturing that it takes. And we also have the most interesting thing is that Chicago Women in the Trades had their story published by Fox News and printed in the – it was covered in the Fox News coverage, and they were talking about real tradeswomen. And our segment is talking about and honoring – they had talked about Joe the Plumber. Well, up in Chicago, they had Sarah the Plumber. And here in Metro Atlanta, we have Susan Bird the Plumber. Susan Bird is a journeyman plumbing contractor that went through the union ranks and has successfully kept her business open for some years. And she is one of our first callers on today. We welcome Susan Bird with Miracle Enterprises, successful business that has had the convenience struggles as all of our businesses have had. We welcome you to the show, Susan.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Susan, how's everything been going with you?
No complaints. Everything's going okay. You know, we don't complain. We move along, do what we have to do, try to succeed and go to the next step.
Well, I understand that there's a lot of steps that we have to make that's different. As I tell people all the time, the vision and the approach for women of color businesses is a lot different. We have unique experiences, and you are a signatory union contractor as well.
Yes.
Okay, and you've been that way for how long?
For the past 2 years. I've been in business for 7, going on 8, and been signatory with the union for 2 years. Since we're getting real in the program, the union, I can't thank them enough for the opportunities they've given me to get to the level that I am. But I have my disappointments. I have things that I feel should go a different way. Right now, with me being signatory with the union, I was under the impression that perhaps since I am in a unique position as a woman, and then on top of it, a woman of color, I thought that they would perhaps see that I have something to offer them. I'm bringing something to the table. And with that, I was hoping that they would see the potential, maybe partner me with the company, and mentor me, and that I'm not getting from them, and that I'm a little disappointed in. But I suppose that means, you know, the old, you have cliches and everything. God bless the child that has his own. I guess I have to really get out there and do it for myself. But being part of such a large organization, I was hoping that they would give me a hand up there, not a hand out, but a hand up.
Exactly. And I have a guest that we also have a, as we said, Chicago Women of the Trades had the opportunity to address the Joe the Plumber with their Sarah the Plumber, and also they also had a way to address the Journey Level of Beth Burton, which is a Journey Level carpenter out of Louisburg, Missouri, and we have our rendition of Beth the Plumber and Val Sanford, Journey Level Carpenter out of Decatur, Georgia. Val, are you on with us?
Yes, I'm on.
Okay. So we have our Journey Level Carpenter and the experience of, and I'll just give a little background. Val Sanford has several years in the carpenter's business, and she is a single mom that has raised three children and grew up in the construction industry as we did, being out with her father since age 11, and has a Marine background, military background in the Marines. I think that's the toughest people on earth. And if you can get through their basic training, you can get through anybody's apprenticeship program. And in the preceding years, I believe that she's developed her own contracting business in the Metro Atlanta area, and is a master carpenter, and have had some experiences in talking with her through the years of what you were saying, Susan, the obstacles that that did not allow her to have job security, and you're not getting job security because they don't see a value. And I think that's what Val was discussing with us early, that she had an experience. Was that in here in Atlanta, right, at Atlantic Station, Val?
Yes, it was.
Okay. And could you tell us a little about the your experience as a carpenter?
Well, my experience as a carpenter, being a black woman, it's hard for us to get a job because the fellas feel that we can't do the job. We're not strong enough. We're not smart enough. And I don't think that's right, because I feel that we can do anything we put our mind to do. And like you said, I've been doing construction work since I was 11 years old. And I can build a house from the ground up. And it's hard. They don't give us the opportunity to show them. It just lock us out, and it's not right.
And I think our experience with that example was with the project that you were doing at Atlantic Station, working, I believe, with a subcontractor that basically had the work to do the concrete work, and because there was no kind of representation on the job for a woman and a woman of color, and there was a situation that happened. Could you kind of go over that with our callers a little bit?
Yeah, it was like the Atlanta Station in Atlanta. They was doing the concrete work, and I was hired to do the forming. And I can form, but I know a little about concrete. And the thing, I went to work one day. It was a woman working with me. Her name was Lisa Barber. And she was a finisher. And by her being a finisher, she was doing the concrete, and I, like I said, I built the frames. And the guy came and told me he wanted me to work with Lisa. And I said, for what? Because I don't know anything about concrete. And so the next day when I went in, I was hired to do the forming, the setup, because that's what I knew how to do. And I didn't think that was right. You know, I didn't understand that, because that's what I wasn't hired. My contract was to come and form, to do the setups. It wasn't to do concrete work.
And then at that time, the job security that we don't have, even once we get to the, I believe, going through cracking the concrete floor to gain and maintain high-skilled jobs, even when we get to the concrete floor to try to break through, if we don't have networks that would have been able to represent you, because I think, Susan, you mentioned that the union, it's been an honor to work with the union and get the training, but the representation level is not there. If I'm correct, Susan.
There's something missing. There's something missing. You would think this is the new millennium. This is supposed to be the time of the woman. And we're talking, you know, before this election event. This is supposed to be our time. As a minority, and this is any woman, we're supposed to be able to get different contracts, get different things that the unions can't get. This is down south, and the unions are not that strong. So the job market is slim to none. So here, if you have someone who is a part of your organization who is gung-ho your organization, who you supposedly train up, why wouldn't you help that person? And in helping that person, you help yourself, because I would be able to provide jobs that they can't even get. And so therefore, something is wrong with that picture, and something's missing, and I can't put my finger on it. Why wouldn't you have another program to groom your people and continue the tradition of the union, which is to you're supposed to produce a well-qualified individual and keep this circle going and keep this work going? Why aren't they doing that? And it's nothing but a benefit to them and the many other members. What's wrong with that picture?
Well, we had a very good discussion with the Carpenters Local 225, Mark Brown, Jimmy Gibbs, here in Metro Atlanta. They're the Southeastern Carpenters Regional Council, and they're part of Georgia, North Carolina, and South Carolina, respectfully. And to kind of answer that question, I think what we were looking at is there is no strategic networks that have given them the mindset to want to joint venture, to want to provide the Val Sanfords of the world and the Susan Birds of the world with the social network that says it says in a sense that, as you said, here we are business owners. We are developing our community, and we are creating not just a social network but a financial network that allows us to cultivate our communities by providing simply jobs in our community. And I think this is why our administration is where it was in the past 8 years, because that social capital, that conservative look at looking at our, you know, each person as an individual that's a part of the entire network. So I think that one of the most affordable things for us is to have organizations like the Coalition that attracts folks who would want to do business with us. We have a caller from 770-277.
Yes.
How are you doing?
Good.
Okay.
This is Nicole Steele with Diamond in the Rough.
Okay. All right. We have Nicole Steele on the line. Nicole has an organization here that we actually talked about at the very beginning. It was actually on Diamond and Rough that we accidentally not kind of met, but we had people that was a part of one network that tied us into another network.
Mm-hmm.
Diamonds in the Rough has a purpose of options is to empower girls with skills and information that enable them to be successful with their post-high school education and careers. The program includes like monthly workshops, guest speakers, and educational field trips. They have career opportunities and college preparation. I thought I'd just get that out the way. And then also wanted to introduce a caller from 404-244. Caller,
yes.
From 404-244.
Yes, this is Yvonne.
Okay, great. We have, as I would say, the next president of the DeKalb NAACP here in DeKalb County, Georgia. And as I said at the very beginning of the show, based on her goals, strategically, her belief is what we talked about earlier, socially lines up with the beliefs and the understanding of the Coalition, and it provides a great understanding that change in all our organizations must come, and that change has to be now, because never again will we ever have this opportunity. I believe that succession is the goes to going forward. And I'd like to let I told Yvonne Hawks, Ms. Hawks, about Nicole, and I thought that was a beautiful matchup, even though you guys have never met yet. But I wanted to let you all know that this talk show, everybody that's online and listening, this is the form that we have been lacking. As you heard Val Sanford talk about her experience, you have Susan Bird on that has Miracle Enterprises. She's our Sarah the Plumber, but it's Susan the Plumber here in Georgia. We have attorney Yvonne Hawks, and I gave a little bit of her information at the very beginning. And what I want to do is also invite our founder of the vision, Maggie Bowens-Freeman online.
Hi, how's everyone doing?
Hello.
Okay, that's the maker of me, you guys.
And I am Renisha and Janora Bowens' mother, and I was just listening in to see, you know, hit your show.
Okay, and we just
go on.
Okay, no, we just had our first speaker, our first guest on that we've been talking about is Chicago Women in the Trades, Lauren Sugarman. Welcome, Lauren.
Thank you. How are you all today?
Okay,
fine.
Okay, Lauren, I have about seven roundtable guests, and I appreciate you calling in, and I've been introducing everybody's biography online and in our chat room about Chicago Women in the Trades, but I wanted to just let you know that the circle of people that we have on is we have our rendition of Sarah the Plumber, Susan Bird, Journey Woman Business Owner, Master Plumber, Susan Bird from the Plumbers Pipe Fitters Union here in Atlanta.
Hello, Ms. Sugarman.
Hi, Susan.
Okay.
Nice to hear about you.
Hello, how's everyone?
Thank you.
Okay. And then we also have, and as I say, the next president of the NAACP, Attorney Yvonne Hawks.
Well, that's my hope. I'm going to say that.
All right. And then we also have Val Sanford, our redemption of Beth out of Missouri, our carpenter, journey level woman. Val,
hi, Sanford. Yvonne. Hi, Val.
Hello. How are you doing?
Okay. And then we also have Maggie Bowens-Freeman, the founder of the coalition in Indiana.
Hi. How's everyone?
Okay.
Yes, how are you?
And then we have another speaker for our guest is at I think that's old age. Nicole from Diamond in the Rough. She has an organization for young girls that we need to tie into. Okay.
Hello, ladies.
All right. Everybody's been introduced. I wish we had the camera on. Everybody can get together. But I want to start with Lauren because she's under the weather. And I wanted to kind of ask a couple of questions. And, ladies, I think it's very interesting that you see the structure of Chicago Women in Trade and the social capital network that she's built over a period of, is it 30 years, Lauren?
Chicago Women in Trades is about to celebrate our 30th anniversary in 2009. We were founded in 1981.
Wow. Okay. Congratulations with that. And some of the thoughts that were going on in the first part of the show was the concern on the breaking through the concrete floor. What would it take to crack through that concrete floor? And 30 years, have you seen a glimpse of that? And what do you think we're going with this new revitalization of that?
Well, I think this is a really historic moment. We've just seen a new administration elected that really represents a lot of the struggle of the civil rights movement and reflects a massive sea change in U.S. politics, hopefully. I think it represents a sea change of people who are interested in politics, and I think we can build on that. For women in the trades, this is a particularly important moment because if you look at other historical challenges to male-dominated industries, many of them took over 40 to 50 years to really see women achieve what we call critical mass. And when I think back to women in the professions of law or medical fields, The first women began to enter those fields in the late 1800s, and it wasn't really until the mid-1960s, 1970s, and even just now in our time that we're seeing that women make up more than 50% of those professions. For women in the trades, we're just building the pipeline. We've had 30 years of building the pipeline, and I think many of us can remember, if we didn't live through it, at least we know about the era of Rosie the Riveter, and that women were persuaded and organized to go into non-traditional jobs, so-called non-traditional jobs during World War I and World War II, but that we were also propagandized to go out of those jobs as the war, World War II ended, and told to go back to the home to make way for men and male workers to return to what, quote-unquote, their jobs. But 1978 was a moment when the federal government extended affirmative action requirements to include women and setting goals for women in the construction industry. So 30 years ago, the doors first opened, and many of us got our first breaks in the industry because of affirmative action. And I'm always proud. I'm an affirmative action baby. I just was talking to one of the former directors of the U.S. Department of Labor's Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs about the challenges we've had to really enforce those regulations over the last 30 years. And 30 years is a really, you know, that's a speck. It's a small time period to make the kind of change. But perhaps we can get back to the real origins of what those goals meant when they really did open the doors and begin to level the playing field. I only got my job because the contractor I worked for got a public contract, in that the U.S. federal government said you have to ensure that you're going to hire women, not just show a good faith effort, but that you will hire women, and we want to see their real bodies in order to award you this contract. That's the real heart and meat of affirmative action regulations. And they've been really depreciated and disparaged over the last 20 years, especially, and I think we've seen the numbers of women not rise above the 1 to 3% level that we represent in the skilled trades. But hopefully we can change that, and a new administration gives us an opportunity to make some demands. And I think that whoever is in office will respond only to the sea of voices of women like ourselves saying now it's time to enforce those regulations and not just enforce demands on the industry to accept women, but also build pipelines so that women are prepared. And you mentioned that, Nicole, you represent a group called Diamonds in the Rough of young, reaching out to young girls, that they know that there are good opportunities in these careers and don't always and frame their decisions about careers based on sex role stereotypes.
I think that's what we were discussing before. Nicole, you have a six-year-old running around there with tubes,
that's
right?
Correct.
And you said you would not take that challenge from her because if she wants to own her own construction company, it was all right with you.
That's correct.
Okay, and I think that's very important that we as women continue to understand that we have a different focus. And, Lauren, one thing that we are trying to do, and the based on this forum for today, it's based on spearheading alliances with non-traditional tradeswomen organizations. And what we call that, and this is why I was so happy that everyone that's online comes from different backgrounds. We have an attorney. We have a nonprofit that deals with children. We have a tradeswoman. We have our founder on the line. We also have actually Janora Bowens on the line. Janora, there's Lauren.
Hey, Janora. Long time.
Everybody's telling their ages now. Janora? Because she's there somewhere.
Hey, hello. Hello?
Yeah, okay.
That's what happens
hello.
When we get...
We're getting old, you guys, together.
Okay, I'm sorry. Hello.
Okay.
Hey, Janora.
Hi, how you doing?
I bet you wish you were in Chicago today.
Oh, Yes, I did. I did. I was wondering to make a drive down last night, but, you know, all that traffic.
Okay.
Well,
let me
you call the honorary Chicagoans.
Okay, great. let us. My mom had a little comment on here, Ms. Freeman.
Yeah, I was just recalling when she was thinking of talking about the 80s, I was just recalling the times when Janora, you and Bernicia was working on the Dan Ryan, and them knowing the Chicago women in the trade made me feel more comfortable knowing that they had someone who had their backs, you know, out there with all those men out there. So it was really exciting just to see them out there working among some of the first women that was out there on the Dan Ryan Expressway.
I think that's exactly why we were formed, Maggie, is that women like your daughters wouldn't have to be out there alone or standing up for themselves. And I don't know if you remember, but we actually had to take those contractors to court.
Yes,
to,
I remember. Yes.
And we actually got a temporary restraining order to shut down the Dan Ryan because women weren't being hired. Or they were being hired, but what we called being bicycled to other jobs,
right,
other contractors.
Right.
So those moments, you know, are building our movement. And I really appreciate what you're saying, Bernicia Karima, that
okay.
We have to build these coalitions. And you're absolutely right that all the players have to be at the table that have different skills and strengths and connections. And I think it's going to take all of our efforts as a united voice, no matter that we have a president that brings us a lot of hope and, you know, a vision of change, it's still really up to us to demand that change, to outline what it looks like, to talk about how much it costs, to talk about what it takes to implement it. And that's what I really want to focus my efforts on, is what should we be asking President Obama and the new administration to do to ensure that tradeswomen's numbers really do increase?
And Ms. Hawks, your opinion about the two-year strategic and financial plan for the new face of the DeKalb County branch. Strategically, how do you plan to position through that based on you know, in the history you have of lifetimers, life members that and I guess we've been able to get them to move a little bit and
right.
change, but what would be some of the struggles that you see or challenges that would be afforded inside trying to move into the organization structures that you have? And I'm also a member of the NAACP here in DeKalb County as well, you guys. And I strongly suggest that everybody that's here in Atlanta and Georgia, and we have folks here from Chicago, Milwaukee, a couple people from California online, and one D.C. caller as well, and several people in the chat room. Ms. Hawks, what would be some of the challenges that you see in your goals as being currently maybe our new president of the NAACP?
Well, the challenges are getting across the lines of generation and the ethical line, racial line, because we have, I think people just see the NAACP as just African-American organization, although our goal or our mission is to help stamp out discrimination for all people and to make sure everyone has an opportunity to reach their goal, no matter what race, creed, color, whatsoever. And the organization has come to a point where the people that are running it, they continue to run it. And we have not yet been able to tap into the youth, the younger individuals. That's where we have to cross the generational line and link the older members with the younger ones and build new leaders and have them take up the gauntlet and move on, because eventually we're going to die out.
No.
The ones that's here. Yeah, I'm going to age. I hope so. I hope I don't die. I hope I don't get killed. But I'm going to age. And it's just so much I can do at that particular age. And we need the youth and vitality to help carry on the fight, and they say the struggle, but I want them to live a dream as opposed to continuing to struggle in the same path, because if you continue the same path, you're never going anywhere.
You're
going to
get the same result.
you're going to just get the same result. That's like baking a cake. You're going to put the same ingredients in there. You're going to get a bad cake with the same ingredients.
Uh-huh.
You're never going to get a German chocolate if you put ingredients for a pound cake. You're never going to get a red velvet. You keep putting the same ingredients for a pound cake. And this is the age of technology. We have to use the technology to reach the others, the masses. And that's one thing that President-elect Obama did. He used technology to get his message out. And that's how he got a lot more of the young individuals to come on board or just to at least listen. Communication is very important.
And what you said about our youth, Diamond in the Rough, Mr. Cole, could you kind of expound on what you guys do in its entirety before you guys do your family dinner?
Sure will. Well, first, let me just thank you for this opportunity. Diamond in the Rough is a mentoring and leadership program that serves girls here in Georgia right now for between the ages of 4 and 18 years old. Our primary focus is group mentoring. However, we do have a college and career coaching component. And I'm just amazed at what you ladies are doing. One of our goals through our options career planning program is to expose young ladies to traditional and non-traditional careers. So many young women and young girls grow up and they because they don't have points of reference, they select jobs based on what maybe their mother did or what their grandmother did. And it's really important for them to see people, young women, women that look like them, that are out there that are doing great things. I mean, our desire through Diamond in the Rough is to build young ladies up and to teach them that they all have gifts and talents and abilities that are to be used for a greater good. And we want to get the girls on track of living a life of purpose, not just running after careers for the money or because this is what's hot or this is what's good now. So going back to education and empowering young girls and giving them examples, that's our goal.
And now you said getting careers. Most of the time, well, people my age, my generation, they were going to school to get an education. And I heard an educator most recently said, don't go to school to get an education, go to school to get a career.
That's right.
You have to plan to be something as opposed to just getting a piece of paper. Because when you get out now, there's more people who are not working in their area that they went to school for than it has ever been. They are working these small or menial
jobs.
And and their training is just marginalized. And so you need to go with a plan in action and to implement that plan so when you get out, you have your career in mind as opposed to I need to get a good job.
That's right.
Good job.
I think
I think
one thing that's happened is that education and careers have really been separated, and especially careers in the trades have been seen as, you know, the leftover jobs that they didn't really require education or training or any kind of specific skill set. They've been somewhat demeaned. And I think we have to not only reclaim women's opportunity to do this work, and I do mean reclaim because I think women have always done this work. We just haven't been remunerated well for it. But I also think we have to reclaim that this is good work, that people who do plumbing, people who know how to build houses, people who build roads and bridges, and people who bring electricity to our homes and our offices are smart, important to our labor force and to our economy's well-being. I see that there's a comment on the line about the present economy. Everybody feels threatened. And one of the things that I felt hopeful about, despite the economic challenges we're in, is that we do real work. I mean, this is not work that goes offshore. It's not work that goes up in a bubble as a derivative, because you can really see a tangible result of the work you do. And I think that's one way we sell it, not only to young people, but also as how valuable we are to the economies being built.
If I could, as you said, it has been marginalized, the type of work that you all for calling. And my brother, he is in heating and air, and he came down, thank God, to fix my compressor. The technology, yes, it was hot that day. The technology that he had to use is just astronomical. The equipment that he had to use to do all of that, computerized, so on and so forth, they just don't know what it took to get to that point. These are some brilliant people. If I had to do it, I couldn't do it. I really couldn't. But they have put technology in these jobs that make it so important for the person to go to school, go back for extra training periodically as the industry changes. The people just don't understand just how much knowledge they have when they have someone come in there to fix their air conditioning, the electricity, whatever.
And I always ask people, do they really want the dumbest kid in the class to be in their house? You know?
Blow it up.
I think one of the things I like to address to everyone is, and I want to stress this to you, I want to stress what we're doing here and why we're here. And I only can say that you have watched one of the most successful illustrated strategic alliances actually executed in the history of the world. You watched Barack Obama create a durable network of people who knew each other in their communities that grew a stronger base, and information flowed faster. Everybody knows when they did the text messaging, and McCain was still trying to figure that one out, right? Resources can be mobilized more effectively. As you see right now, we are strategically dealing with a lot of issues. We have our plumber on the line talking about Lauren the Union and why they have not tried to par her up with a opportunity to get projects. And then and I'm only reading from this description. I wrote this description before the 5th of November. So we want to make sure you understand that we are onto something, you guys. And this is why if you go back online and you look at the description, you'll see that this is the hand of God himself bringing us all together so that it is our turn to reduplicate what you saw. The challenges that we have had in the past, those challenges were never there in the first place. We make those the challenges. And so when we talk about the problems that can be solved more quickly when interdependent environments are present, and that means, in short, Susan, they told you today that you needed to make a decision on getting some work, and you said to them, how am I supposed to get any work when you're not, you're trying to, they're trying to force you into doing what now?
It was a blessing in disguise. What it is, I'm signatory with the union, which means I'm a union company. I went to sign the books. You sign the books so if any jobs come up, you can get jobs. I was told, well, you can't sign the books if you have your own company. You can't sign the books and have a company. They said, you have people working for you, so you need to start paying union wages, the fringe benefits, all that, which is extremely expensive. And for the record, I have my own company, but I also have another job because my union couldn't put me to work. But I keep my dues up, and working for myself isn't quite getting it because you are dependent upon that customer for your money, and everyone's broke. So I took it as, and for me, it's a challenge. It's my dream. It's the thing I want to do. But when I was I asked them, I said, okay, if you want me to do this, how am I going to get these big contracts? Because this is what I want to do. I was told, I don't know. I said, well, what about, do you have somebody you can partner me up with that they can mentor me? And then that way I can come up under their company, learn the ropes. I don't know.
Hello?
Is what I was told. So I'm the type, I've taken this as a challenge. So.
Okay, we have a call. Excuse me. I'm
okay.
Sorry. Well, we had a caller from 763 area code, but okay. You took it as a challenge? Go ahead.
Yes, it's a challenge because it's something I want to do, but it made me realize I'm going to have to I guess I will have to. I get a union magazine. My husband was giving me some input, and I'm going through it to every resource that I have, and I will contact these other union companies and people that are supportive of them, and I'll reach out myself and ask these companies would they be willing to mentor me. But you would just think that because I was part of the union, and once I benefit from whatever, they are going to benefit. One would think that I don't understand why they're not trying to groom me, but.
Nah. Well, that's another thing that Ms. Hawks has as part of her future goals for the NAACP is to establish partnerships with organizations and local businesses. And hopefully, Ms. Hawks, there will be some things with the local unions, because I think by you being an attorney, mm-hmm. do you see anything awkward about this situation?
I don't. I really don't. I think, and as you said, partner with the businesses here in DeKalb County, which would branch out also beyond the county lines. We've got one committee within the NAACP legal redress, which within that is the reentry program that Carrollton County started this past year, where those that has come off parole, come out of prison, jail, it's hard for them to get back into society. And they're partnering with businesses, churches, faith-based organizations to assist them in the biggest obstacle, getting a job, getting ID back, getting acclimated back into society. And there are people out there that truly want to do the right thing, but doors have been shut because of that one mistake that they made, that criminal background that they have. And some of the system is not helping them. They're hindering them. So within the NAACP, there are programs in within our organization that is geared toward helping to make people productive citizens. And in partnering with businesses and other organizations, they can help us help the individuals, help the company.
So everybody's helping each other to help themselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, Lauren, there's a thing in here for our chat. A young lady says she gets irate when someone tells me that they got their sons in the trades to be at least an electrician, but something about they have any requirements, no skill level. Not sure if you saw that one.
I actually wanted to comment on Susan's question about what to do about her situation,
uh-huh.
and I also want to just give you credit, Karima, and the National Coalition, because I think what you've done is taken the same model that you're highlighting that the Obama campaign did, and you're setting it up in a way that we who want to break into male-dominated industries, either as workers or as business owners, can come together on a electronic media forum like this, where I can be online and on the phone and be talking to people across the country. I think is exceptional, well-designed, and ahead of its time model, and one that could really be emulated in lots of ways. But as to
I got some value now. Yeah. See,
well, you have extraordinary value, and I think you know we always want to. You know, I hear you give credit to a higher power, but I think you're using your own power, too, and I, you know, applaud that. Susan, I think this power that the National Coalition and Karima and her group have is an extraordinary opportunity for you to both build your social networking skills, which this forum allows you to do, but also to build your business building skills. And I think it's not... We take it for granted that you can just open your door one day and say you're Joe the plumber or Susan the plumber, and just like Joe the plumber wasn't really going to have a business, I think you need a lot of tools to set that up, and they're different from the tools that you use on the job. And I think stuff I've seen on your website, Karima, is really invaluable to women like Susan who want to know about bonding and insurance and certifications. And, you know, the union rules, I think, are ones that we've seen as barriers, but in reality, they have been barriers, but we want the benefits of those union rules as well. We want the good wages. We want the benefits that come with that. And so I don't think it's necessarily unrealistic for the union to want you to pay workers at that rate. What I do think is unrealistic is that, you know, they don't have any mechanisms to help, you know, you grow a business. But perhaps while you're growing your business, you do continue to work in the field, and maybe that's where either Chicago Women in Trades or a legal advocacy group can help you put some pressure on some of the contractors who do have public funding, or perhaps on the union, if not at a local level, from the international level, so that you do get more steady work and then have, you know, be steadily building your business as you're building capital for your business while you're working still in the trades. I think a business plan, you know, doesn't necessarily get designed overnight or implemented overnight, but you still need an income. And you've got your license, you've got a, you know, a journey level ticket. That's a really valuable thing. But yeah. I'd be happy to talk with you more about, you know, what kind of legal advocacy or pressure you could use to get some of the contractors there to take you more seriously as a worker, or, you know, see if the international union could intervene with your local to get you treated more seriously. I don't know that the union is going to be in the position of mentoring you as a owner, though, necessarily. I think that's where the national coalition comes in.
Okay.
I would
be glad to speak with you. Do you have a number that I can get from you while I'm on the line?
Sure. Chicago Women in Trades number is
312-942-1444. Okay. Thank you
so much. Yeah. No, we work a lot with both our local union here of plumbers and the international union. And I really am thrilled to see what you're doing down there in Atlanta, Karima and Denora and Maggie. I think, you know, I'm so proud that you came from Chicago. I'm sorry you left Chicago to do it, but I'm glad you're still maintaining your links here.
Well, the thing about, and this is very serious for us, the program, the Diamond in the Rough, I myself am very interested in helping to empower girls and have them understand that the tradition of being, Attorney Hawks mentioned about jobs and being critiqued for jobs, and I tell people all the time that my mother raised us to be business owners, and our blueprint is her, just like your blueprint, your daughter's blueprint is you, and I think that it is our charge, if you understand the mission statement. I think a couple of us, I think Ms. Hawks understands it, my mom understands, and a few other people. Older people that are over 21 understand they charge to keep I have. We have to become servants, and all of us at the line are in our late 20s and in our late 30s here, and so we have to understand that for what it's worth, the success of this organization is important, so important. To work and roll up our sleeves for programs like Diamond in the Rough. I think one of the things that you talked about was some of the career opportunities that you have coming up, and that your goal is to take this program nationwide, if I'm correct.
That's correct. We're in the final stages of our expansion plan, and our desire is to be able to reach girls in rural communities and urban cities all over the nation and eventually all over the world. But it takes women who are able to serve as examples, as volunteers, as mentors, as guest speakers, as financial supporters to help us act out our mission. Within the last we're in our fifth year here in Gwinnett County. But over the past 4 years, we've served over 2,000 youth and families with programs and services. And we can't do that without the passion, without the commitment, and the dedication of women.
I wanted to let everybody know is that they have a teen talk show that they're trying to put together, and we will be helping them with a fundraiser to work on not just having studio space, but equipment and all in order to build the networks. I think one of the things that you mentioned was that everybody can't be out front in front of the television. There's people in the background, and that is one of the things that we want to say. These are the foundations of understanding and information that is provided from an early age. Instead of wanting to be the cement finisher, you can be the concrete driver, or you can be the batch plant operator, or you can provide. So what my point of it is that you guys have something that you guys are looking at trying to do with your media part too, right?
That's correct. We are we have a television and internet television show called Teen Talk with Diamond in the Rough, and it's an opportunity for us to give girls a voice. We've got young women, young girls who have been working with us throughout the summer as interns, learning all aspects of television production, script writing, shadowing after individuals from companies like Turner Broadcasting and local television personalities and what have you. But, again, we're trying to expose young women to non-traditional jobs, and many young girls want to be the movie stars and the singers and the people that they see in, you know, on television. But how about writers? How about producers? How about directors? How about people in the construction field? How about scientists and mathematicians and engineers and all of these other careers that are out here that they're not exposed to, unfortunately, through the school systems and what have you? So our desire is, through our Teen Talk television show and the various programs that we have, is to, again, prepare girls, to inspire them, to nurture them, and to provide them with the knowledge and the resources to succeed.
And Ms. Hawks has multitask as well. One of her visions for our NAAC branch here is to locate and develop leaders for tomorrow. So I think that's a great match for
right.
you in terms of the focus. And then she's also a writer.
Small writer.
Small.
I was affiliated founder of a nonprofit organization of about five other attorneys, because when we first started out, we all went to the same law school, John Marshall in Atlanta, Georgia, and we just was appalled at the number of minorities, actually African-American male, that was sitting in court in the orange jumpsuit.
Mm.
And we know they're not the only ones, committing crimes. And like you said, let the kids know that it's not the glamour of the actress and such. You've got people that are behind the cameras, so on and so forth, because they don't have knowledge. That's the same thing with the people that are in jail. They did not have the knowledge and the tools to make that informed decision not to do what they did. Or they can make that decision and decide, can I live with this and do the time? And they're just shocked when they find out that you, let's say, forgery of a check, you can do 5 years. What do you mean 5 years? I didn't even get the money. And it was just heartbreaking to hear them crumble because they had no knowledge. And as they say, without knowledge, the people perish.
Mm-hmm.
Without vision, they perish. We have to give them the knowledge. And that is one thing that, that was one reason why we wrote the short stories. Kids, short attention span. So they're in short stories, and they can identify with the character because they've made the same, let's say, dumb decisions that the reader has made, and the reader can say, I could have been in jail for this 10 years. I could have went to jail for 20 years. And that's why we wrote the short story book, so that we can get the message out faster to more people.
We have a caller from 651387.
Hi.
Hi.
Glad to be a part of the forum today. I'm the young lady that asked about the cabins last week.
Okay, all right.
I have to do the cabins in the bathroom so far. I appreciate all the information that I did receive from Genoa Bourne. It was very helpful, and it helped me to realize that I can actually do some work myself without calling someone. I want to have thanks for the appreciation of the forum and everyone just getting their insight information about how to actually fix a cabin from someone that was on the can't fix a cabinet. I really appreciate all the help that I received from the forum. Thank you once again very much.
Okay.
And today I'm tuning in just listening to everyone, and I'd like to become a partner or some kind of help with the diamonds. Is it Diamonds in the Rough in Atlanta?
Yes.
Is it correct for you?
Yes, ma'am. You can visit our website. Anybody who's interested in more information can visit www.ditr.org or give us a call at 678-376-9676. On our website, we have a list of volunteer opportunities, both short-term and long-term. If you're not in the area but may be interested in Diamond in the Rough, perhaps setting up shop in your community, you can also give us a call or shoot us an email, and we can tell you more about our expansion plan.
Okay. And, Lauren, I know you were not feeling well, and we certainly appreciate everything. I'm sorry that we've carried you a little bit further into the program than what we had.
No, I appreciate the opportunity, Karima. I have a suggestion for Nicole before I sign off, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole, we do a lot of work with our schools, too, around giving young women opportunities to think about careers. Our program is called Tradeswomen of Tomorrow, and we have a program for younger girls. It's called Girls at Work, and then another one, Aspiring Tradeswomen, that are under that cover. But we get some of our resources from the Chicago Public Schools because there is state and federal law that mandate some resources and goals around gender equity be met, and gender equity in vocational education specifically. And although most of the money has been taken away from this, the schools still have to report on this in state plans and federal plans. And so often programs like ours can be their countable activities. So they're willing to invest some resources in the success of our programs. So I don't know if you were ready of that kind of partnership with your school system or have explored it or, you know, have other systems, you know, in the area to think about that with. But we could certainly share the legal foundation for that in our contracts.
Fantastic. I don't have information on that here in the Atlanta metropolitan area, but I will definitely look into it and perhaps speak with Karima offline about getting in contact with you for more information.
Oh, you can take your number down.
Oh, Karima's can I go ahead and
a lot already.
Okay.
Everyone knows. This is what we were able to preserve even during the Bush administration was what's called the sex equity rules, gender equity rules in vocational education. So there's actually federal legislation pending to improve it that will probably be one of the first, you know, things on a national women's policy agenda so that there actually can be a restoration of funding as well as the mandates for it.
Okay. What's that number?
Hewitt's number is 312-942-1444.
14.
And if you want information specifically about gender equity in vocational education, a good website is the National Women's Law Center.
I'm sorry, what was that?
The National Women's Law Center or the American Association of University Women. And there's a number of groups that participate in a national coalition called the National Coalition for Women and Girls in Education that has really protected this legislation even in the, you know, hardest of times. So, you know, protection is mostly what we've been doing for the last 8 years. Hopefully with a new administration we can do some expansion. So I hope everybody will think about that. And Thank you, for Karima, for the opportunity and for all the great work you're doing down there. And I think down there doesn't mean anything anymore because the Internet makes us everywhere. So
exactly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to sign off now, but I look forward to keeping in touch with all of you and appreciate all the great work everybody's doing.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Thank you. Nice
okay.
speaking with
Thank
you.
You.
Meet
okay,
you all.
Everyone, I'm going to take like a 30-second break. Please do not sign off.
Or a nifty treat that you never want your mother to need. And finally, I found somebody who fit perfectly. You're everything that I dreamed you'd be. And I'll be what you need, cause I'm playing for keeps, baby. You are a jewel. I'd be a fool to leave you. I don't wanna lose.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. Just wanted to take a moment to breather. Wanted to kind of go over and just revamp on some of the points that Lauren has discussed. And to all the callers, every resource that Lauren has, I want you all to know that is here in the coalition, here in Atlanta. And accessibility is a situation that is allowed a lot of discretionary things to happen in each one of our businesses and the programs that we try to do. I also want to share with you that you're talking about 30 years of struggle and networking and pulling together networks that go from not just on the level of construction that they've developed. Hello?
Hello?
Caller with the sound in the back. Could you please mute that, please? Okay, we would like to share with you all our vision, and something that I think a lot of you all do not understand is that the survey that I'm going to tell you about, the survey that was done by Corporate America on behalf of women of color, and the one thing that I want to say to you is that strategically, everything that we have, and Lauren has always said this to us, we can do on our own. The first thing that Lauren has said to me years ago is that, Karima, you need your own organization for women of color who understands the real problems that women of color in businesses and women of color in the trades have. Our experiences, you guys, are different from anybody else. The research and the resources that have been that she gave you guys are part of something that we can do collectively. Online, we have an attorney, we have a youth a program organizer, we have a master plumber, we have a seasoned executive officer of a construction firm, we have an organizer that's inside Minnesota, and then we have several folks in the chat room that are going into talking and having comments, and so and then we have a lot of streamlining going on at the same time. So I'm urging you all that this is not just a forum, but this is a base of building our teams collectively. So that the each week I make sure that we have somebody that is not from here or that is a part of something that's bigger that we can do ourselves. And this is what Obama said, yes, we can. And strategically we can align ourselves to help one another, especially the folks that's here in Georgia. The coalition is building a office here, but we are also building offices in 25 states as well. So that is our purpose. Our purpose is to drive not just awareness of just construction, but contracting in whole and in itself, and setting goals and business strategic alliances with people like Ms. Hawks, and strategic alliances with people like Nicole and her organization, and being able to support Susan. Susan was actually one of the first folks that we ran into when we first got here with the, it wasn't the coalition, but it was a same association, but she conceded to be the president of the organization, and it didn't have any sustainability. Now we have sustainability, and we have developed resources that can outlay any type of advocacy level, because that's what our job is. Our job is to advocate for any kind of injustices that's going on. So I wanted to share that with you all, and I do wanted to ask Ms. Hawks one more additional question about the redevelopment and the general membership. You mentioned that the life members are for the NAACP are different than the actual regular members, and do you see that being a burden for the new members like myself, who has a new, you know, has a different bloodline and understanding about how we need to go forward?
Well, I don't believe that's a burden. The life members at this point in time are not as active as they should be. They're not passing on information and experiences that they've had with the organization, and life experiences that could benefit those that are younger than they are. And my goal is to get them revitalized into the organization so that this can happen and we can cross those generational lines, and that those that come after us can benefit from our experiences, and not to control them or to have them just do it exactly the way we did it, but just to give them the benefit of our past experiences and wisdom, and to give those that are what I call our legends, really, because they really blazed the trail in the past for us, to give them that recognition and to give them that opportunity to help mentor the leaders of the future.
Now, the other question is, Susan, with this new alignment of what we were talking about earlier in terms of your union and partnering with you, one thing I wanted to share with you is that the Carpenters Local, the council actually, for those three states, have conceded to working with us with a national agreement that will allow business owners like ourselves to be able to have a different type of trainable workforce. But then in the same token, you know, the dues and the fees that have to be paid each week can drown a person's cash flow if the agreements do not change. So the unions are still working on the old way that things have been done, and now our agreement on not just the carpenters, but everybody that we're going to approach has to change, that it's pay when get paid. And so, therefore, when you bid a job, all the benefits and everything that has to be calculated into that project will be in that bid. So, therefore, you're not coming out of pocket, and that is where our discussion is going to go on the national level with them. If not, then we will, strategically align ourselves with the Associated Builders and Contractors. And I know, and that's how you resolve that. They if it's just one voice, you guys, they'll listen. But when there's a group of women, a coalition that has an advocacy arm and has a network that we have that dates back almost 20 years. We date back 20 years, and the resources are unlimited. We have a caller from 623, area code.
Hi, Sudie. How you doing?
Okay, wonderful.
Good.
And caller, what is where are you calling from?
I'm just supporting your show from Arizona.
Arizona. Okay,
yes,
great.
Ma'am.
Thank you very much.
McCain State.
Wow. All righty then. Nicole, thank you for. I know we went into 43 minutes of your family time,
That's okay.
We want to thank you and your husband and your mom for allowing us to pull you away from a very good thing that the families need to do, and that sit down and have discussions about things and then understand where we are as a family and a structure. So we really appreciate your time on here. And
thank you
for
the opportunity.
Well, we're here to help, and then it's our charge to reach into what you have and roll up our sleeve and do whatever we can. And yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Right.
Caller 651-387-8861, signing off.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Then the last thing is, Nicole, what are some of the other challenges that you all have as an organization outside of the one part that you were talking about with the studio? Is there some other challenges that we can do and the callers that are still online that can help assist you with?
Well, there are several areas. Even though we've been working at capacity and reaching the many girls and families in need, we're still a very grassroots organization. So we need people to share our vision, to visit our website, to learn about our organization, to tell other people. I know people's time is very limited nowadays. So, and it takes a gifted and, you know, called person to work with young people, but many of us have people in our spheres of influence who can help financially, can give of their time, perhaps women who are looking for programs for their daughters or their nieces or granddaughters. So just helping us get the word out. Again, we're always looking for people to come in and share their testimonies, to share their stories, to be guest speakers, and then to roll their sleeves up and to work as mentors and to volunteer for special events and things of that sort.
And I think Ms. Hawks has a very interesting comparative note of what some of her vision is working with young folks as well and catching them at the very early stages so that they're not standing in there in line looking at the fact that they didn't even cash the check. And we have 5 years.
Right.
So if you could kind of get into that a little bit more about your
right.
vision with that.
Well, our organization, Watchdog for Justice, the other four or five attorneys that was with me, we conducted seminars, our actual workshops. It was a real-life mock-type trial or play as such when we put the youth in the different roles. As the defendant and as the store owner, they're given that. We had a play like The Hookup, and they were all in there. And then we had those as jurors. And it's surprising the way that the youth thought. They knew that they were wrong. They knew that this was not correct. You shouldn't give them 5 hamburgers for the price of French fries, things like
Ooh.
That they feel like, you know, they'll never miss it. It won't hurt anybody. But still and yet, when the trial and the play was over, they said that was just wrong. They knew they shouldn't have done that. And then we said, well, it's time for you to make your decision when you get out there. Don't let anyone pressure you into having their making your decision for them make your decision. We want you to make your decision because you're the one who's going to have to live with it when it comes down to it. So that's what we were doing throughout whatever community, at libraries, at churches, different community groups, and we spend time with them about an hour and a half or so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we have a caller in for the 770-879. Caller. Okay.
And Karima,
yes.
I'm going to have to sign off too. I have to
okay.
be at a meeting about 7:30.
Okay.
And so it's been a pleasure, a great opportunity. I appreciate it. And I hope we just keep in touch and we can work together somehow.
Well, definitely. We'll give you a call in tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Okay. We got 10 minutes left in the show. I had a caller in from Arizona.
It's still me.
Okay. What is your, are you a part of the construction industry or?
Pardon me?
This is the caller from 623.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you have any questions or comments?
No, I'm just supporting your show right now, Sweetie.
Thank you. Okay. And call us from 770-879-3411. Okay. All right. Then we have a caller from the 651 number 233. Janora, do you have any comments regarding some of the other callers' positions and all that you have looked at in the past? I think some of the experiences from the Chicago Women of Trades, you've had some experience in the past about the level of support we needed and the things that we got from people like Brenda Gold and Chicago Women of Trades and things of that nature.
Only thing I want to add to that discussion is we do have organizations like our organization that if people have questions, feel free to shoot us an email or give us a call, and we will, you know, sit down and discuss the situation and try to lead you in the right direction or right resource that you could get information from.
Okay. All right, so Ms. Freeman, do you have any closing comments? We have about 5 minutes left.
Oh, I was just thinking that the young lady who has organization Diamond in the Rough,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a good idea to try to train the young people before they get started out in the world, you know, to focus on what type of career they'll be interested in the future and to get them started in women in the trade or a trade organization is good because the pay is good. And I think they have not realized that the pay is, with the pay that they'll be making, they can make a living for their families with that. And I'll leave you with that thought.
Okay. Well, what we want to do is kind of close out the show with a couple of opportunities to tell a couple of our sponsors. Thank you to the Center Women Business Research in Washington, D.C. for the studies for women of color. And then also want to mention that we also have a complete outline of this show that's archived at the end of each show. You can go to ncwcc.org and click on and have an outline of upcoming shows for the next month of November. And we're going to have some very good shows at the very beginning of December and very excitable shows in the end parts of December. And then the 1st of January, we're going to have somebody from Barack Obama's camp to come in and talk to not just the tradeswomen but businesswomen and find out the objectives that that they are actually really looking at now that they now that we can do some things differently and should do some things differently. We want to try to get into a lot of studies and understanding the damages that's been taking place in our industry. One thing that Lauren stated was that there was a lot of watching going on. And we have a caller from, now that caller jumped off. I want to make sure when callers jump in, I stop talking to make sure that these folks get a chance to say something. But one thing that Lauren and them has been doing for the last 8 years during the Bush administration is defensive mechanism. So there's not been a lot of doable networks that's been created for succession planning for journey-level women who would ideally graduate from the journey-level stages, take their general contractor's license, and become licensed union contractors that will be able to understand to hire union folks. And then the same thing, one of the examples that I've been trying to
illustrate to individuals that have called in and then we've talked to all week was that succession planning it increases business growth because we are more likely to hire other women of color than anybody else. And so, therefore, you have a less discriminatory practice. We have a caller from 770-573. I mean, 573.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. Susan, hey, how are you doing?
Yeah, my call dropped, but I did want to thank you for this opportunity, and I really enjoyed this, and I wanted to leave my number and let women know if they do have plumbing questions, you feel free to call me at 770-572-4899, and I'll be glad to help you in any way that I can. And
okay.
I wanted to thank you for this opportunity.
Okay, and I appreciate any time I've ever called you. It could be 6 months from now or 3 years from now, and you'll say, okay, let's do it, whatever you need.
<That's> right.
You tell Mr. Boyd, Mr. Bird, thank you for your time, and I certainly hope that you tune in to, as we were talking about the last month, the last week in December, we will have somebody from Barack Obama's camp that is going to be able to talk to us about the issues in which we have to address, and that you know, this forum is going to continue to grow. This is only 3 weeks in the making, and we've taken on at least with just our marketing at least 596 hits on our site, far as the chat rooms are concerned, and then we've taken on about 223 callers and chat room sessions. So I want to thank everybody and let everybody know that we are here in Stone Mountain to assist you. You can go to our site, ncwcc.org. We have a slew of resources that we're trying to advocate and make available so that the problems that you've been experiencing is no longer will be a part of a problem. Our solution is to bring the unions together with real 21st century strategies that work for everybody. Everybody has to win. It shouldn't be that you strangle a business owner because they want to have a professional workforce. So with closing, I want everybody to know that 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So I want everybody to understand that this is a charge to keep I have of God to glorify who gave his son for my soul. So I want to tell everybody thank you for calling in, and God bless, and please tune in next week for our other session. Thank you.
Could you let me sleep? As long as I see your face, I don't want to be awake.
I count sheep around.